What's up, Insane Army? It is I, your all-round source for lifestyle tips. Jollof rice practitioner, don't act. Pop culture maven, adventure travel addict, conversation guru, and a full-time happiness advocate. Big shout out to you for tuning into another episode of #YOLO with Benson Efbo. That's me, by the way. Duh. If you're not doing so already, please smash that subscribe button wherever you're listening to this podcast episode from right now, so you'll never miss another episode, and consider leaving me a very good review. And be sure to jump on over to Instagram and follow me there as well at TheBensonEfbo. Make sure to comment and like on my most recent post. And as a thank you, you'll be entered into our weekly Insta story shout out. This week's guest, oh my God, I am so lucky to have connected with. I met him while traveling to Cotonou in the Republic of Benin. He was sat by the pool at the hotel that I was staying at, and I overheard him and his friend have the most progressive conversations around travel and sustainable lifestyle. And I knew instantly I had to connect with him. Brian is an American born to Mexican immigrant parents. He is based in Washington, D.C., and he works at International Health Consulting. He's been in Benin over the last 10 days doing some post-evaluations work after the government of Benin introduced the rotavirus vaccines. Don't know what rotavirus is? It's okay. I didn't either until I connected with him. This is #YOLO with Benson Efbo. Are you ready? Let's jump into the show. Efbo, boom. All right, guys, welcome back to the show. It is so amazing to have you guys tune in every week. This week's Notification Squad shout out goes to the glorious, and this is the second time that she's taking it, at the Eve of Gwen, and I'm giving this to her specially because she DM'd me a couple days ago that she has successfully monetized her YouTube account, and it was not for you guys going over there to subscribe and comment and give her all of those watch hours, she would not have gotten it so quickly. So thank you so much, Insane Army, for supporting another member of the Insane Army. The Eve, we love you, we celebrate you, and we are going to keep watching and helping you grow your channel for as long as we exist. All right, enough talking. Let's go straight into business. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Benson. Hi. How are you?
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How are you feeling?
I'm good. I'm really excited to hear.
It's so hot in Cotonou. I'm not sure how you're this excited, but.
Well, it's like pretty cold in DC right now, so.
I know.
It's kind of nice to be here.
Do you like the heat?
I do. I love it.
That's weird.
I love the humidity. I love the heat. It does wonders for my hair and my skin. I love it.
It does do wonders for your skin. Like, your skin is glowing.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so usually before we start any show, we put our guests through some rapid fire of, get to know me questions.
Cool.
You should not be so scared, but you should be a little bit because these questions were all submitted by the Insane Army. The Insane Army is the best fan base in the entire world. Okay, you ready?
Sure.
All right. What is the scariest thing you've ever done in the name of fun?
Oh, wow. The scariest thing I've ever done in the name of fun.
Uh-huh.
The first thing that came to mind was I was celebrating my best friend's engagement, and we took a boys' trip to Tulum, Mexico, where there's a bunch of caves, and there's bats in the caves, but then, like, water as well,
because it's
collected. And we went cliff diving, so we just jumped off of these cliffs, and it was, like, between 15 to 20 feet, and then there was bats, but you just jump into this dark hole of water, and then you resurface, and the water's so refreshing. That's probably the scariest thing I've done.
I wouldn't even do that. No, thank you so much. I'll pass. Okay, what is the first thing you think of when you wake up in the morning?
Ooh, that's a good question. The first thing I think of when I wake up in the morning, what time is it?
Oh, okay.
I guess.
Well, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, if you could visit any place in the world right now, where would it be and why? That is, if you could teleport anywhere right now, no visas, nothing, just appear, where would it be and why?
Where would it be and why? Mm. Where is that place that you're going to coming up that is like the most...
Oh, the Maldives.
No, the place that is the least visited place.
Oh, Tuvalu.
Tuvalu. I just learned about this. I would probably want to go there based off of our conversation.
Oh, you should go to Tuvalu. Guys, I'm sure we've given it away already, but like Tuvalu is the world's least visited country. It's in the Pacific Islands, and it's technically operated by like the Australian government because they get like lots of support. But Tuvalu is like Pacific paradise. Like, there is almost zero tourist anything. So there's like pristine golden beaches, like blue water. It's a small island.
Sign me up.
Beautiful. So yeah, we should.
That's probably where I'd go.
We should actually go.
Let's do it.
You'll love it. Okay. What three words would your mom use to describe you?
Oh gosh, stubborn would be one of them.
Okay, it's not just me.
Yeah, she would say that I'm stubborn. I think she would say that I'm loving and. Smart.
Okay. That's the first of the show.
Really?
Yes.
It's always the first for everything.
Okay. And then finally, what is the longest English word you know? P.S. It could be like a nonsense word, anything like the longest. But it has to be at least Urban Dictionary verified.
Do we have to know what it means?
Not necessarily.
Super cadrifagilistic expialidocious.
That means something cool or dope.
There you go.
That was so epic. Okay, let's just get straight into like the actual business of why we are here. Let's talk about like the amazing work you do for JSI. First of all, what is JSI Health, and like what do you do for JSI Health?
Thank you. So JSI, it stands for Jon Snow Inc. And
wait, Jon Snow from
Jon Snow Inc.
What's that show? I never watched
Game
it.
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
What you're referring to.
Yes, never saw it, but yeah.
It's actually not a reference to that. Jon Snow was actually the first, he was the doctor based in London that figured out that it was the sewer system in London that was causing the cholera outbreak. Ooh. So he's known as the father of public health. So that's okay. What my firm is named off of.
Okay. So what do you do for them?
So I do many things with them, but they are this amazing organization, and I am part of a support team that helps different types of public health centered projects. So any sorts of projects that want to work on improving the quality of life or helping out in some sort of health capacity, mostly international, but JSI does have a domestic program as well, based in the U.S.
In the U.S.
Okay. I'm in the international part, so I'm part of a team that supports the improvement of health policies, of health practices, and all of that good stuff.
All that good stuff. Okay. And, okay, well, just, like, walk me through what, like, a typical work day is like for you.
Okay. A typical work day for me. So I currently support 7 different projects in about 5 different countries. And a typical day for me would start off pretty early, maybe around 7 or 8 in the morning. And I would have team calls with my India team or my Indonesia teams,
okay.
Just because they are the farthest away from us, and as we are waking up, their day is like ending. So we try to catch them, you know, earlier on in the morning just to connect. A lot of emails. I do write a lot of emails for sure. But what I do enjoy about my job is that I'm really surrounded by a lot of amazing people who are just truly passionate about what they do, and they really are just incredible role models within the public health circle. And what's so great as well is that I'm able to connect with different people from different cultures, different countries. I can talk to people in 4 different countries before I take my lunch. So kind of what my day-to-day is sort of like.
I think I need a career update. This is so much more fun. How many countries have you lived in or worked in like since you joined JSI?
Since I've joined JSI, I've done some like short-term technical help here and there. That's mostly administrative or like logistical operational. I have had the pleasure to travel with them to India, Thailand. I've gone to Haiti. I've been to Tanzania a couple times. Benin, South Africa. There was a huge coronavirus symposium in Johannesburg. And a couple of places. Oh, Dubai. I was there as well.
Dubai's amazing.
Yeah. It's good. I mean, like, they don't need any sort of help in terms because of their very loosely visa policies or stuff, a lot of the countries that we work with, it's hard for them to travel. But Dubai really provides visas for anybody to come. Okay. So it's good to help. So
they can just congregate there.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Oh, that is amazing. Now, one of the things that I love about you is the fact that you speak really amazing French. And it's like, trust me, I love me people who can speak more than one language. And you speak 4.
Thank you. Well, three and a half, but four sounds better, sure.
Okay. Let's just say four. Now, how did you pick up, like, these languages so quickly? And, like, what is, like, say, your tip for anyone who wants to go about, like, learning the languages or just, like, retaining them and stuff like that?
Wow, you're killing me with the questions today. So I think just like you, I grew up in a multilingual home. I actually didn't learn English until I was 5.
I was 10.
So I think what really helped me is I became bilingual at a very young age. Mm-hmm. And since then, I just, like, was able to converse, was able to think, was able to argue, was able to just dream
yeah.
in different languages. And I thought, like, because I was able to, you know, talk to my parents in one language and then switch and then talk to, like, classmates in, like, in another, that just broadened my horizon, that, like, communication is just so vast and complex, and then the more that we want to communicate and talk to others, we just have to get more languages.
Get more languages on board. Yeah. That is so smart. Wait, you're right, though, because I was just speaking to a polyglot recently, mm-hmm. and, well, she didn't have, like, any secrets, like, language learning and stuff like that. It was just, she learned how to speak about 3 languages before she turned 7,
yeah.
and she spoke fluently. So just, like, transcending beyond that, she would want to just connect with more people. And absolutely. You can only connect by, of course, like, learning and speaking more language. Now, apart from, like, working with JSI, mm-hmm. How much more have you, like, traveled in the past? Like, where have you been to? Stuff like that.
Cool, yeah. So my travel experience kind of started when I graduated high school. My first international experience was when I went to Poland in 2009. So I'm originally from Chicago. Chicago mm-hmm. is that hub city center right in the middle of the United States. And Chicago actually holds the largest Polish population in the world. Number 2 is the capital of Poland, Warsaw. Isn't that crazy?
That is so crazy.
It's so crazy. There's so many Polish and Polish Americans living in Chicago. That just because by
wait, I cannot believe that fact. I need to fact check right now.
Please do.
But please go on while I confirm that. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It was funny. So, like, when my father immigrated to the United States, it wasn't actually English that he learned first. Okay. It was actually Polish. Because his employers and the people who hired him, they were all Polish speakers. Mm. So that's where it started. In college, I had my first experience here in this beautiful mm-hmm. continent. I went to Uganda for a couple of months, had an amazing experience, wanted to go back, and came back a couple of times throughout college. I went to Panama, and then after graduating, I lived for 2 years in Burkina Faso.
Wow.
So,
Burkina.
That's where the French comes in, yes.
Oh, so you picked up, like, really quickly while you were in Burkina.
Exactly.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
Did you like Burkina?
I did.
What's, like, your fondest memory or activity to do in Burkina?
Oh, boy. okay, as I sift through my memory here that of all of the things that I've done within those 2 years, I think my fondest memory...
Mm-hmm.
Was probably every Wednesdays within the village that I lived at. Every Wednesday was vaccination day,
mm-hmm.
so all of the and I was a public health or I was a health volunteer. So my job was to go to the health center, was to go to the clinic, assist in any way, kind of do outreach programs. But every Wednesday was baby weighing day or
vaccination day.
So all of the moms would bring their kids, and it was just like. Chaos. Kids everywhere. And of course, being the one white passing person there, the one person that doesn't look like everyone else, like, some kids would either adore me and run to me or would just be petrified that I was there.
Oh my god.
But as, like, a team member, I would have to pick up these babies, you know, put them in, like, the weighing sack and check on their weights, and, you know, so, like, I would, like, every Wednesday I would have at least one, maybe two kids just urinate on me just out of excitement or out of fear. But, you know, I think with that I just felt that I was, you know, doing something.
I am too OCD to see how that is cute, but oh my god.
Oh, you have to see all these kids.
Okay, so back to our fact checking on Poland. He is right. Polish immigrant population in the city of Chicago at nearly 70,000 young people and over 106,000 elderly. That is about one third of them living in the U.S. and the other half, the other third in Poland. And wait, why is everybody just scattered everywhere?
We live in a globalized world, Benson.
I need to catch up. But he's right. Chicago does have the highest number of Polish diaspora.
Yeah.
Go you guys.
Thanks, yeah.
Okay. Now, so you've lived in Burkina. You've been to Benin a couple times. Do you have, like, any specific foods and stuff that you like?
Yes. Oh. Burkina and I also had it here in Benin, but like I think Burkina specifically is known for their peanuts and their peanut production.
Okay.
And they would make this like peanut gravy sauce that accompanied rice. And I think
was it a spicy one?
It could be spicy.
Like, it has like chili and stuff in it. I've had it. It's really good.
Exactly.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's probably my favorite.
We have so much in common. Okay, let's just take like a quick break from the conversation to catch our breaths. And when we return, we are going to have some fun with a quick game of Would You Rather?
All right.
And we're back. Okay, now for the 0.0001% of you who don't know how this game works, I am going to be asking our guest a very hypothetical question and give him two nearly impossible options to pick from. But of course, if you listen to the show for as long as it's been on and you've had all the guests, you know that they always find a way to blow my mind every single time. Brian, are you ready?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Question one. Would you rather forget your password every weekend for the rest of your life, or forget your first name every time you meet someone for the first time?
Oh, God.
I know.
Probably my first name every time I meet somebody for the first time.
Okay, you're the second guest, you know, in like back to back week that has said that exact same thing.
Yeah.
What is your reason?
I really like my last name, so I'd probably introduce myself as Castro, as Castro. You never say anything about last names.
No, I said first name. Insane Army, I think we may need to expand this to just have like first and last name and middle name and brother's name and any name that reminds
name
you of your name. But yeah, you're right. So why would you not want to forget your passwords?
Because now everything requires a password, right? Like, pretty soon we're going to like need a password to go to the bathroom. You know? So it's like whether if I want to check my social media, my email, my like bank accounts. Of course, all of this is like with reason we need to have passwords.
Yeah.
But I'm constantly monitoring all of these platforms and all of these applications, and like having to reset all of that on a weekly just sounds more
exhausting. You know, the first time I played this game with a guest, I remember saying that no, I would rather forget my first name. I would rather forget my first name and then remember the passwords. Because in my head, I thought, you know what? I could just put all the passwords in the password locker. But then I'm like, hang on. I could just forget the password locker's password.
Exactly.
And then I'm going to be stuck again. Okay. Would you rather receive $10 million cash right now, lump sum straight to your account?
Yes.
Okay. Or find $1,000 in your pocket every time you reach in for the next 5 years?
Definitely the 1,000.
Every day, every single time you reach your pocket.
Yeah.
Why?
I think I am much, I would probably be a lot smarter in budgeting that way. And I think my mind right now, every time when I would reach into my pocket, I think that would actually be more than 10 million. I could be wrong, but I think...
It could be more, actually.
Yeah, it could be more to me. Maybe I'll just... What if I check my pocket every 5 minutes?
Yeah.
But I think I think I would... It would probably be easier for me to plan if I routinely have money income flow and be able to have that stretched out and kind of, you know, have some aside for, like, my family, for my debt, like, all of that stuff, as opposed to just getting 10 million cash. Though, that sounds pretty great, too.
It does sound great, because for me, I would just think, oh, I'll just go invest it. But now, like, listening to your perspective, I think you're right, because when it just keeps coming, you just know how to segment, and then you can even invest from just, like, the little trickles that are coming in. And Insane Army, I know that I have changed my mind, like, 4 times with this question. Please bear with me. I love new perspectives. Okay, question 3. Would you rather wake up as the opposite sex once a month or wake up in a strange place once a year?
Wake up in the opposite sex.
Oh, me too. Okay. No questions asked.
Yeah, no explanation there or anything? No? Okay.
Well, good. Trust me.
I think it would just be great to just, like, I mean, we, as a self-identified male, you know, I carry many privileges, and, you know, my job, and that is to just, like, listen to women, and how is it that I can use my privilege to just, like, improve
what they're
exactly. So I think, what better way to put yourself in that perspective than just trying it out
for yourself?
Day. So I think
that's just, like, 24 hours, and it'd be fun, you know.
Yeah.
Have like you could just become like a new James Bond.
Exactly.
Or Jamie Bond. No, Jane Bond.
Yes.
I have a quick question. If James Bond is the world's most popular spy, doesn't that make him the world's worst spy? Because you're supposed to be incognito.
Yeah. So, like, I guess you're no longer a spy then. You're a celebrity.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good question.
Yes. Okay. For the same annual salary, would you rather start in a hit TV show or become a super popular YouTuber?
Hit TV show.
Reality TV?
Yeah.
Oh, do you like TV?
I do.
What's your favorite show?
My favorite show? Does, like, Netflix count?
Well, it's 2020 and streaming services are just, like, everywhere now. And
exactly.
To be honest, I don't think any proper millennial or Gen Z sits behind a TV screen any day. So,
yeah,
it counts.
It counts? Netflix. Okay. So I would... Ooh.
No pressure or anything.
No pressure. You know, really,
there's so many good shows.
There's so many.
But there can be only one.
Only one that I could star in.
Yeah.
That I could be a part of. I think the one that would be give me 10 seconds.
10,
the one that I think
9, 8.
even though it's done now, I would probably try to have my own spinoff of Game of Thrones, because that is one of my most favorite trilogies. And I thought that the show was truly fantastic. And I think pretty soon here, we're going to see all of these spinoffs. And I know that you said that you haven't seen it before. You should watch it.
Well, this is the thing. The day that the first episode of the show, like the season 6 or 7...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this was last year.
Mm-hmm.
So the day it came out, my friends tried to get me to, like, binge, like, the night before. So I remember watching the first episode of season 1 and falling asleep, like, somewhere in between.
Right.
And that is the most I have... I did not finish the first episode, but that is, like, the most I've seen. But...
Oh, Benson.
Yeah, I know.
Watching, like, the third episode, once that, you will, it's gonna be like a drug. You're gonna want it, you're gonna need it, and you're gonna grow and love these characters, and just the character development itself.
Mm.
It's super relatable, even though it's like in this, like, mystical sort of land or so. I think it's very applicable. They do bring real world, like, situations
into it.
Yeah. And I think it's
someone did say that you can learn a lot about, like, politics and, like, power play and things like that in the show.
Precisely. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Who would you say is your favorite character? I know I haven't seen it, but I think mine would be Daenerys, the one with the white hair.
Daenerys Stormborn.
Yes.
Of House Targaryen, mother of dragons. Yes.
Thank you. First of her name.
Yes.
That is the most reference I know from the show.
She's great.
I know, she's so lovable. Okay, finally, would you rather be surrounded by people who brag all the time or people who complain all the time?
what's the third option? People that brag all the time or people that complain all the time?
Okay, third option. Or just, like, more of yourself. Like, replicas of yourself. Like, all of your different personalities. So, can you stand all of yourself?
You know what?
I couldn't. You can, I could you not can, you're, believe, yeah, even well, for me, I can't stand all of myself. My personality is
one of a kind.
Oh, merci très beaucoup, monsieur.
Pas de souci. So I, ooh, you know, I think I'm gonna go back to your A and B options of, like, yeah, someone who brags or, like, someone because I'm gonna stay true to these questions.
Yes,
I think that I would rather hang around with someone who complains a lot, because I think I would be more willing to engage in conversation with that person with those sorts of complaints and problems, and then, you know,
pro for solutions.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm such a problem solver that I think, you know, if there's a problem that is, like, kind of, like, thrown at me or kind of, like, introduced to me or something, I try to figure it out. I love puzzles. I like to kind of, like, get to, like, a solution where, you know, where everything makes sense to me, at least. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's very biased, but I think I would probably prefer someone who complains more than, like, more brags. Because brag, like, there's no response.
But hang on,
right?
What if it's, like, merited bragging?
Can you give me an example?
For example, say I won the Amazing Race, like, or I won, like, just one of those, like, extreme TV shows, yeah, or, oh, I won The Voice, or, Project Runway. Oh, even Project Runway, just, like, some, yeah, kind of, like, merited bragging.
You know, that might be.
Or I found the cure to cancer while drunk in some pub in Poland.
You know, I think now you're sort of changing my mind. I think, like, those might even also be fun as well, because I would probably just make fun of those people in a very
subtle way
and, mm-hmm, just kind of drop these, like, comments here and there.
But it can be exhausting, though. Like, because, I mean, for me, the reason why I will naturally stay away from the complainers is sometimes, no matter how much solutions you proffer, after a while, it does tend to get exhausting and just, yeah, like, overwhelming.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you're living your life for just everyone, mm-hmm, else, which is not such a bad thing, because that's just who I am as a person.
Yeah.
But I think maybe after, like, some personal experience, I just realized, you know what? I would rather just cheer you on, mm-hmm, if you do something great, but it can be, yeah, it can be a bit much. Either,
yeah,
way.
Yeah, and, like, either, like, way, if someone is, like, bragging a lot too, I feel like they're just, they're so self-absorbed that, mm-hmm, like, they probably don't even care if whatever happens to me or their friends,
yeah,
or so. And I think,
yeah,
that is a very unattractive quality. I think if, like, yeah, so good question. I'm going to think about this at night, probably when I wake up tomorrow morning.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. You know what he's saying, Army? By the time this episode comes out, I am going to do an Insta story where I'm going to respond with his final answer, because tomorrow I'll put a reminder to ask you. Okay, let's just jump back straight into the show. Now, just before the break, you shared about, like, your travel experiences. Now, you identify as sexually.
Sexually?
Yeah.
I am gay.
Gay. Okay, yes. Awesome. Now, how do you handle conversations around, like, safety, especially, like, traveling through these regions, which is not completely, you know, LGBTQ friendly, and not just, like, by government laws, but just, mm-hmm, also, like, religious standings. Welcome back to the show, guys. We just had, like, a really short break. We were just trying to just, like, you know, catch our breath again. Okay, let's go back to the conversations and just what we're talking about. Now, just before the break, you were sharing all of your travel experiences and, you know, just how much, mm-hmm, where you've been and all of that. Now, concerning these areas, like Benin, Burkina, and just most like this West Africa, now, you identify as, your sexuality is?
I am a gay man of color.
Ooh, okay, yes. Bless your heart. Now, how do you handle safety conversations, because these parts are not known to be the most LGBTQ friendly, not just, like, government laws and things, but also, mm-hmm, like, just general people's perspective of stuff, cultural upbringing, all of that. So how do you handle safety conversations?
Absolutely.
As a gay man, permit to say gay white man, because people just think you're white your hair?
Yeah, well, I mean, I become white when I'm in Africa for Africa, sure. Okay. But back home, I am not like...
Definitely not white.
Yeah, yeah. I'm constantly reminded that I'm Latino back home. But yeah, so thank you for this question. You know, I think it's really important to kind of talk about this. And I like that you are giving me this platform to just sort of like discuss these sorts of things. Mm-hmm. I, first and foremost, every time when I travel, my safety is my number one priority.
Yeah.
Secondly, is also like my job. What I do and what provides food for me in front of the table is very important to me because I'm so young and new in this profession. But I never compensate who I am, mm-hmm. and I never compromise who I am. So what I do is that I always do my research. I always try to figure out, you know, what is it like to travel as like a queer person. And yeah. you know, there are queer people everywhere within like of the Americans who travel and stuff. So I am always try to be respectful of the culture, always be, you know, intuitive and know what's happening, and kind of, you know, remind myself that I am a guest in this place. I am someone who, you know, I'm here for a short period of time and then I'm leaving. So I am trying to leave the best impression that I can to my colleagues, to my hosts, all of these things. Yet I always try to stay true to who I am, and you know, and I have never in a professional setting when it comes to working with like the government or ministries or things like that has this question ever come up. They do always offer me, you know, a woman to marry or something like that, you know, as if no, women's like
very
a currency
African thing. Yeah. It's a very African thing.
Yeah, and you know, it's like you laugh and ha like brush it off, or you know what I can. I'm actually
sometimes they're not actually joking. Like they are actually, if you want to get married to a woman, sure.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, and I believe it. But you know, you kind of sort of like play along with those things, and then. After that, I think I kind of just switch the conversation and you know, talk more about like gender rights in that mm-hmm. aspect, because if someone is offering me a woman like they're offering me a potato or an apple, I'd be like, well, let's, you know, like let's dissect this gender, and then then all of a sudden that queer LGBT conversation becomes a gender conversation, because that is easily more mm-hmm. digestible, but it's all tied together because my liberation is tied to your liberation.
Yeah.
And so the more that I work towards liberating or helping to have these conversations about genders and women's rights, or so eventually we can lead and to get to the talks about LGBT folks.
Oh, wow. That is so insightful. Now, okay, so there is like very heavy presence of like heteronormative behaviors and assumptions and stuff like that around, mm-hmm. you know, these general parts. Are you comfortable, or do you ever have moments where you feel like you have to go back into the closet while you're in these areas?
I do. There are times where I feel like I do have to go back into the closet. However, I've been living in a heteronormative life my entire life, so it's not very hard to kind of code switch or kind of like jump back into you know, kind of into more of a reserved more mode and stuff. But when I'm traveling as well, and I'm also not the only American, and mm-hmm. all of my colleagues back home, they know about me. They know who I am because okay. it's also like a post, like it's very sort of progressive. So whenever I am reclusive or kind of like, you know, not as queer as I normally am, or so when I am back with my American colleagues or so, that's when I could kiki, that's when I could talk, that's when I could hang out with them and kind of refuel myself and still get that part of my personality that, you know, needs rejuvenation and love okay. and care and expression.
Okay, wait, so do you ever try to like reach out to the LGBT community in these places, like when you're there?
Absolutely.
Or connect with them?
Absolutely. Yeah, I love doing that. I think it's very important, and it's very important to me to kind of understand, because it just how it is for a LGBT person
to live abroad because, you know, it's just by luck and by chance that mm-hmm. I was born in America, you know, a place yeah. that, well, you know, arguably right now with what's happening with our administration, you know, it's I have so much privilege in terms of, like, you know, being an openly gay man there. So, but if my cards were different or dealt, I could have been born anywhere else, and the situation yeah. would have been different. So I do try to find the community everywhere I go just to see, because there always is a community there, and I always try to do it as safely as I can, and it luckily has worked out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, this is a story we need to have after recording this.
For sure.
Okay, so we're just about to, like, wrap up the podcast episode, and it has been so much fun speaking to you. But I just have one more question. Now, you're an American living abroad, or working abroad, or traveling abroad.
Yes. Most all of the above.
All of the above. And so I'm an avid follower of American politics, and I feel like some of the decisions that they take, or at least America takes, affect some global political policies and things like that. Now, I would say if I was American, I would totally be a Democrat.
Yes.
So, I assume you're also a Democrat?
Yes.
Right. These would have been
she bleeds blue, honey.
These would have been very awkward.
Oh, but, no. I know where this is going. Go
okay.
ahead.
Okay, well, just tell me, like, what is your... Now, try not to be very, like, oh, when responding, like, it's not like an American living in America, but see from, like, an American, like, an international perspective on things, but as an American. Now, what is your take on, or your perspective on the chaos that is the Democratic Party primaries that are just currently underway right now with U.S. politics? Like, what is going on?
Oh, Benson.
What is going on?
You know, we are living in history right now. We are living in a time where there's just, like, you're exactly right. What is going on? I don't know. And I think the books are still being written of what exactly it's happening. I think just from my outside perspective, I live in Washington, D.C.
So oh,
I
we're live, the capital.
Yes. Oh. And so I live and breathe this political sort of atmosphere on a constant basis. There is not an hour that goes by that, you know, there's some sort of political reference that's either discussed within my space, or that comes in my computer at work or something like that. It's just, it's always present. And that's just the reality of the situation mm-hmm. that exists in DC. And I love it because I think, for me at least, I like to be current on all these issues. I like to hear what things are saying. I like what people are tweeting about. So if you're asking me what is the chaos that's happening,
please.
I simply don't know. I think right now the Democrats just do not have a unified sort of mission in the way that the Republican Party has. Like, okay. You know, the Republicans from a Democrat's perspective seem so unified and seem so centralized, and they, you know what they believe in, and they have this sort of stern base of foundation
yeah.
of their beliefs and all of that. And I think the Democrats, there's such a wide array of, like, whether if you are a progressive, if you are, you know, more on the moderate side or so, I think there's so many different types of, like, Democrats. You know, there can be Democrats who, you know, have very strong immigration policies, but yeah. then also have very, you know, lenient gun policies. And you have the exact opposite that exists as well. So, you know, it's like, there's not that one silver bullet that really sort of unifies everyone, other than the fact that we need to get the current administration out of where it's at. And I think everyone can agree that we are trying to figure that out.
I mean, even for the Republicans, I think even they also just know that, you know what, we just need to get this administration out as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so do you have, like, any favorite Democratic candidate?
I have a few.
Okay.
I have a couple, and, you know...
Can you share one?
Can I share one? Okay. Sure, I will. I really like Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, God bless your soul.
I do.
She is my religion.
Yeah. I think she's so great. I think just on her experiences with the Democratic debates that she's been on her. So I think she's the one who truly shows the capacity that she can debate with Donald Trump and mm-hmm. not let him overpower her. And I think, I don't really see that on majority of the other candidates. I think she can stand up there and really bring the house down and actually kind of say a lot of really important things and use that platform. The problem is right now is to make sure that we have the supporters that are on the other candidates to kind of be unified and help them as well. So I think it'll be a very interesting couple of weeks here as we see how we get closer.
Trust me, I am keeping my eyes firmly peeled on everything that's just going on there. Okay, so just finally to wrap up this really amazing episode, can you share one solid piece of advice for any new entry person looking to explore development work or just travel for work or just like any LGBTQ person who wants to just travel around like these West African parts?
Wow.
One advice. One ring to rule them all.
Yeah.
One Iron Throne advice.
Exactly. I would be open. Hmm. Be open, be understanding, absorb things, absorb your environment, what the words are what people are saying to you, and really internalize what is happening around you, because if you are traveling abroad and that within itself is just something that's incredible and amazing, and people really grow. Like, would you agree that when you're traveling, you really have so much growth?
I feel like just when I just began traveling full time, my maturity level has just skyrocketed.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when I go back home and I meet like my really good friends who are also like my peers around my general age group, we're not on the same level. Like, the reasoning is just a bit different. And
because you've been more exposed to cultures and different peoples and different ways of thinking and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's probably because you were open. So I think, try new foods, talk to different people, walk into a mosque, a synagogue, a church, anything that is within your grasp that you are traveling, really open up and kind of absorb and really try to understand. Because at the end of the day, we're all people, right? People. We all bleed red and we are all...
Well, not you. You bleed blue.
Because I am a Democrat. Yes.
Okay, but I completely agree. Like, you need to be more conversational and stuff, which is one thing I never really understand about some people who would always book, like, this one-off, all-inclusive tours. I don't think like they're bad. Sometimes it's good to just have somebody else just plan everything out for you. But at least like if you're there, I still like you should go out and try to connect with the natives if you can. You know, try to get a taste of the culture just before you leave.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because some people like they come, they still want like very American dishes or very like European type of foods and drinks and stuff like that. That is not exactly ever.
Exactly. If you are in Senegal or so, and then you order like a hamburger because you have been living in the in America and you want a hamburger, a hamburger in Senegal is very different from a hamburger to the U.S. So even there, you are setting yourself up for a loss because it's not going to be the same. Mm-hmm. So why not just take it that extra mile and actually just
get something completely new?
Exactly.
And not be disappointed.
Exactly.
It's like when I came in, I had a sandwich and I was so sad because the bread, well, it was served in a baguette. And the baguette was so hard. And I was like, what is this? This is the worst sandwich I've ever had.
Yeah.
They're like, no, that's a baguette sandwich. I'm like, do you have a regular sandwich? So everyone looked at me like...
Define regular.
This is regular. And I was just, that's when I had the couscous for the first time.
Oh.
I love couscous. And I feel like it's very generic to say I love couscous because that's like a very French food.
Uh-huh.
But having it here, tasted like it was great. Yeah. Having with rice, and it's amazing.
There you go. Be open.
Be open. Brian, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
I loved speaking to you. Thanks, hey, Insane Benson. Army, this has been Brian and Benson. See you next week. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining me on this week's episode of #YOLO with Benson Efbo. For full recaps of the show or for more episodes, resources, and up-to-minute updates, head on over to www.thebensonefbo.com, where you can also learn more about me and what I'm up to. please consider subscribing to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google, RSS, or whatever platform you enjoy listening from, so you'll never miss another episode. While you're at it, if you found value in this episode, I'd appreciate a 5-star rating on any of the platforms that you're listening from. Or if you'd simply just tell a friend about the show, that would help me out a lot too, because that's just how much I love your validation. Brian, if someone wanted to reach out to you to connect, to say hello, send you a DM, how can they reach you? Go.
I think the best way to reach me would be on my Instagram, which is at bcast1386. That is at bcast1386.
Thank you so much. So, guys, get up on there, follow him, and shoot him a DM. Until next episode, stay winning and be insane. This is hashtag YOLO with Benson Ekwo. Benson out.